Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
Take the other job. And I'm like, wait, Chuck, you don't know anything about it. He said, it doesn't matter. Like, you take the harder job. And I'm like, but what if I can't do it? He's like, why couldn't you do it? I'm like, oh, I don't know. It just seems like maybe it's a stretch. He's okay. So you'll learn. I'm like, all right. You're really, it was like such a kick in the pants. And every time, everything I would say, he would be like, again, I don't understand. Like, this is
enough. Yeah, he was like looking at you like you had two heads. And he's saying, obviously you can do it. What is happening here?
And he's like, do this stuff all the time. Like, why would you even doubt yourself as a woman? And I thought, so I went home and I remember thinking about it and talking to Chris about it. And finally, and Chris was like, yeah, absolutely. You take this job. Like, I don't understand why we're talking about this. And I'm like, why? Thank you everyone for believing in me, but I'm the one that actually has to execute. And I just remember thinking that night, you know what? I can do it. I've been through hard things. I can do hard things. I can do this. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to bite the bullet and do it. And I just called the next morning and said, absolutely, I accept all this stuff. And it did take time, right? As I started into that new position, and it was a pivot from what I had been doing, but still the same. I was going from marketing and some others to a more communications role. And there was a lot to learn. It was a new industry for me. It was, again, a lot of newness. But I was like going, oh no, what am I doing? And then just learning to who the players were, what the questions were to ask. It's okay to ask for help. That's like such a huge thing, I think, that people don't, especially in new positions or even younger people coming into a leadership position. It's okay not to know what you're doing. Like, and that's the time, right? To ask the questions and to absorb as much as you can. And that's how you figure it out. And also, you don't have to do things the way the last person did it. I think so many people go into this job and think, okay, these were the shoes I had to fill because you heard about what we've done.
She's always been an achiever. She was the one who always energetically and optimistically powered through. Even in the face of some pretty devastating personal loss, she found a way. But eventually, when a panic attack sent her into the ER, that was a wake-up call that told her something had to give. What followed from that was a slow and brave unraveling of old patterns. She was saying things that she once kept buried deep inside. She was asking for help. She was getting real about what she needed, but still self-doubt was creeping in. And just when she doubted herself the most, there was a well-timed comment from an unlikely character that shook her awake. In this episode, Kelly bravely shares how letting go of perfection and doing it alone opened up the door to possibility, authenticity, and the biggest role of her career. Today, I am joined by Kelly Kuecker, who is the Senior Director of Corporate Communications at a global banking technology company. She has experience in marketing communications and event planning in a range of industries, including higher education, fintech, healthcare, and fashion. She has worked for both B2B and B2C companies spanning both for-profit and nonprofit sectors. Kelly is also a speaker for women's empowerment groups, such as She Is Fierce, and has been a panelist for various communication conferences. Kelly is currently the chair of Women of Visionary Advisory Board for Flagler College, which aims to raise funds for deserving students as they attain their undergraduate degrees. Kelly lives in St. Augustine, Florida, with her partner, Chris, and their son, Max.
Welcome, Kelly. It's so great to have you here today on Transformation Unfiltered.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, just delighted. And we are just going to drop right into it. We talked a little bit, and you have a little bit of a messy moment as you are coming up in your career. Are you ready to let people in on that?
Yeah, absolutely. When I was in my, I would say it was probably my mid to late 20s, I had a series of medical things happen with some family members, and you're just getting into the workforce and establishing yourself at that point. And then you've got all this tumultuous stuff happening in your personal life. And my father was diagnosed with cancer, and we got him through that, right? And went into remission. Just a few months after that, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and we went on a 16-month journey She had stage 4 terminal, and that was a really hard time trying to get her through that. She unfortunately passed away. And then my grandmother, 6 months after that, got diagnosed. Luckily, she's still with us. It was just this crazy time in my personal life. And from a work standpoint, while that was all happening, I was working a full-time job, trying to establish myself. I was like a first-time manager of a team. In between some of this, I was working a freelance job as well, just trying to, again, get yourself out there, say yes to opportunities. And I was getting my master's degree, all while trying to help care for family members and do all these things. I was in a relationship with my now still partner, Chris. He's wonderful. And it was just hard time. There's no other word for it. Just hard.
I'm just going to make an observation. You are here now. You've got a very great bubbly energy. And we're just talking about probably maybe one of the worst times in someone's life.
Sure.
And also something at a time when you're thinking, I'm just coming into the world of work and all of that stuff. And what I'm noticing about you is you're going down this like a grocery list. Are you willing to just take a minute and help us join you on that? I know sometimes the grocery list keeps us safe, but
it's been, I don't know whether it's lucky or not, but it's been some years since all of that happened. But yeah, it was a pretty tumultuous time. I am such a daddy's girl, like just always have been. My dad and I have very similar personalities. He's such like a storyteller and all of this. And I remember the day he called me at work to tell me that he had been diagnosed. It was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Like you're trying to tie things up at work you're going into, which is a great family time. And he called me out and he goes, this has happened. And he had esophageal cancer. And I just remember just being so absolutely devastated because I had never been hit by anything like this before. And just not knowing, because you feel so helpless, right? You don't know what to do to help another person. And again, you're trying to live your life. And this is one of your parents. And they've raised you and you want to give back when they need you. And so it was quite a few months to a year of just trying to transport him to different sessions. He was doing radiation and he had to have, because it was esophageal, he had to have all of his teeth pulled because they can't do radiation on the neck and you can never get work done on your teeth. And just all these crazy things were happening. It's just awful. And here I am, obviously, I've got a partner at home that sometimes you like to see them. It's very hard. But then you're also working. I was traveling about 40% of the time for work. So I'm in Ohio at a school. I worked in higher education at the time and just trying to present and share what people could do with this higher education if they came to our school, and coming back home and like seeing my dad just deteriorate and he was losing a lot of weight. And luckily we came on the other side of that and I was feeling so good.
Really appreciate you breaking into the feelings behind this a little bit. I love to hear where you got your personality from. Just sparkly, energizing. And then you said, and he was a storyteller. And I'm like, okay, let's hear this story. And I feel I could almost imagine you picking up the phone right before Thanksgiving and hearing this terrible news and the juxtaposition of travel and maybe really loving figuring out what your new job is. And then you're like, how do I help my dad?
It's such a conundrum. And also I'm in my 20s. I want to see my friends and I want to have a life and I want to do all the things. And again, it was right at the kind of precipice of me becoming a manager for this first time. And I really don't want to let a ball drop at work because I want to show that I can do the things and I can continue to progress in my career. And I really didn't want any of that to fall away either.
Yeah. So you must have felt super relieved when dad came through it and you're like, yes, we made it. Life is back to normal. So take us to the next step. Yeah. Where did that go?
At that point, I accept this freelance job. And then I decide, you know what? I'm going to roll. I've always wanted to get my master's degree. I'm going to do that. And it was wonderful because it was virtual. But still, it's very intense 18 months of work with your cohort. And there's a lot of collaboration that happens if you do that virtual learning component. You're really supporting each other and you're all around the country. And yeah, I'll never forget my mom went in on a Friday to have surgery for something else. And they came on Sunday and shared with us that they had found a lump in her, or a lump in her lung, or a mass, whatever you want to call it. And that kind of spiraled into, it had spread to her brain and her bones and all these other places. And it was very different from when my dad, because again, my dad's like me, he can laugh about things. I think we're just born with a happy gene. I don't know. Is that a thing? But we're just both very positive. And my mom, it wasn't necessarily like that, but it was actually, it taught me a lot. Now I'm looking back on it, because she was not a person that I would have been like, oh, she's really resilient and like a positive person. But every time she would go to a doctor's appointment and they would tell her something bad, and it was every time, right? Okay, the chemo helped here, but it's now spread to this, or you've got blood clots, so we can't do this kind of chemo. And you're sitting there just being like, oh my God, this is crazy. She would be like, I got a good report today. And she would tell me, she would always lead with the positive thing. And I was like, this is so okay. This is not like,
this is not what you expect from your mother.
And what a beautiful thing. And I just remember having, I just had some really great times with my mom during that. Like her last Thanksgiving, I had to take her to a blood infusion. It was just her and I. We had sat there for 4 hours just talking and watching. She loved to watch, like, she called it spooky TV. So we'd put on like some sort of Dateline, or like, so we watch it together. And we stopped by Cracker Barrel and had Thanksgiving on the way. Thanksgiving seems to be a theme here, which I hadn't really thought about, but had that. And that was, she passed away in December, but that was like, we had a whole day together and it was so beautiful. But I just remember her, it was such a positive, like she just really turned everything into such a positive, even though it truly was a negative. And I think that's really impacted me, just from, there's always a sunny side to something, or there's always a good side to the bad. And you have to dig deep and find that and look for it, because it's not always obvious. She was constantly reminding us of that, which I wasn't seeing at the time, because I was just so overwhelmed with, again, I didn't want anything to fall through the cracks. I just remember somebody in my cohort saying, you can pause. I'm like, you can pick this up next semester. And I was like, absolutely not. Because if I pause, my life's going to go on and I'm not going to pick this up probably. And it's really important to me to reach this personal goal. And I just have to figure out a way through, right?
I just really appreciated something you just said. And I think there's little lessons everywhere when we can take space from things. But the overwhelm at the moment, in the moment, was you couldn't even see through the clouds. But now you're through the fog even. But now you're being able to take a step back and be like, wow, mom, she started every moment with I got some great news.
What a love.
And you had these beautiful moments with her in that time that were invisible to you when you were in the midst of it. And I can really appreciate how that must have felt. Would you mind telling me your mom's name so she can join us here?
We're absolutely, her name is Linda.
Linda. We're glad that Linda made it here, because I think she gave you a present, and your dad too, with the happy gene.
Absolutely.
So tell me about grandma, because I think this is still building up to even more overwhelm. So you're getting your master's, you're dealing with these huge life situations that in your 20s, you probably were like, I would never even think to face that.
Yeah. And then, so my mother passed away in December, and you know, it's hard to say it was the right thing, but she was struggling so much. And it really, to see someone you love suffer was really hard. I had just finished my master's degree. I was still doing the freelance thing. I'd just taken over this team at work. So there was a little bit of leveling out, which was great. And I thought, oh gosh, we just made it through this dark time. And oh, we can get back to where I can actually see some friends and spend some time with Chris and do all the things. And almost exactly 6 months of the day from my mom passing, my grandmother, they found out she had kidney cancer. So like, how can this be?
Every time that you started to feel like there was a clearing and that you had been through the worst of it, a new thing popped up.
Yep, absolutely. And my grandmother and I are very close. I'm the oldest grandchild. I lived with her for a little bit as we were moving. At some time, her and I had just always been super tight. And so I was just like, again, completely devastated. From a personal standpoint, hers did not go quite as, she's still with us. She is 90. Gosh, she just turned 90, which was amazing in March.
Whoop, whoop, grandma.
I know. She's with us and it's wonderful. And she's got a long, beautiful life. But she, luckily, we were able to remove it with some surgery and she didn't really have to do too much. We're just watching it, which was wonderful. So that was icing on the cake. Hers wasn't quite the journey that the others were, but it really started some medical anxiety for me as a person, just thinking, oh my gosh, I've been through years of this turmoil and just, oh my, you know, what's next?
Yeah. Tell me about that a little bit, the years of turmoil, and almost maybe like after the first, oh my goodness, then you're like getting back on track. Then the second, devastating life event. And then you're like, okay, I think we're getting there. And then another one. And now you're like, okay, after all this turmoil, it left me with something. What did all of that turmoil leave you with?
I think you lose a little bit of faith in, I don't know if it's in yourself. It's just, there was such anxiety in my life at that point, which I had never quite experienced. And it was manifesting in a, I just don't know what to do. Like, it just drained me, I think. Like, I just didn't have the get up and go.
It's been, like, disconcerting since you just self-confessed that your dad gave you the happy gene. So that side by side with your normal way of being, what was that like to be like, wait, what?
And I don't even know if other people necessarily saw it as much as I felt it, too, because I tend to just be a positive on the outside person anyway. But then I think it was funny because I think my dad actually one day, he owned a restaurant at the time. He's an artist and my stepmom is a chef. And so they had this great cafe where my dad hung his art and sold it. And he was in front of the house and my stepmom was in the back. And I remember showing up one day and being absolutely just like in a full panic attack. And I was like, I think I'm going to have a stroke. It wasn't. It was just a panic attack, but I had never experienced one. And my dad was like, what? Everyone, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I think I need to go to the emergency room. And my dad's okay, let's just calm down for a minute. And I'm like, I can't calm down. Like, I just felt so much turmoil bubbling up in me. And that's just how it originally manifested of me just having this panic
attack. Yeah. You talked about, so you said something just a panic attack. And I have come to think that's something we shouldn't just pass off. I feel like there was something that you couldn't break through. So can you said a couple of things. Can you help me know what it was like in case I need to know what it's like?
Yeah, it was very strange because I, and again, have not had one since. It was just, I think like you tamper down things and it at some point it just has to come out. And I felt like my heart was racing and I remember going to the local grocery store. For some reason, don't ask me why, I was like, I'm going to check my blood pressure. I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. Like, why would I? But I was like, I'm going to check my blood pressure because they have those little machines there. And my blood pressure was like 180 over something, which is high, but I'm running around doing errands. But for some reason that again, I have all this medical anxiety that has built up and it sent me into this, oh my God, my blood pressure is high and my heart is racing and I cannot calm down. And I couldn't get myself to calm down. I was so in my head that something awful was happening to me medically. And my dad and Chris, I forced them to take me to the emergency room, even though both of them were like, you could just, let's get you in the shower. Let's calm you down. I thought, nope, I'm going. Sure enough, I get there and they're like, you're like, everything's okay. Have you ever had a panic attack? I said, no. And so actually have been on some anxiety medicine, full disclosure, since then. And it's been such an incredible asset to my life, right? Because it was just something that was so scary. And again, like when medical things are happening to you, things are happening in your body that you don't even know.
It's not all in your head. I think it is releasing all of those neurochemicals that have long-term and short-term effects on your overall health. And also, thanks for sharing that. I think that it's something that we don't always talk about in our work worlds. And it's a real thing we all come into contact with, even if it's not affecting us. I do have better living through chemistry. I think it's part of my keep it going plan.
It's funny because it does run in my family, but I had never thought of myself. And again, I think that was a trigger point. But it really did teach me, and I live this way now. I'm a very open person. And it taught me not to hold things in because I really feel like that can just eat away at you. And again, physical manifestation of holding on to feelings and things is a real thing. And so sometimes people are like, gosh, you're so like open. And just sometimes I'm just like, I'm sharing. But for me, that's just a way to release it, to help me maintain the happy, bubbly person. I have to share. Like, that's just my way. And I know that helps me.
What I'm picking up is you're letting the inside match the outside. And I think that I get exhausted when I'm having to moderate the difference between how I truly feel and how I show up. And so kudos to you for being able to be your fully authentic self.
I think it's really important. Authenticity is one of those key tenets in my life that I think is important. And you don't recognize that when you're younger, right? That comes wisdom and age and all those things. They say it for a reason. And it's true, but I really do feel like the more I can, even if it's just saying something to a family member, just something happened at work today and I just need to say something to somebody. And I try to be that safe person for anyone in the workplace too, because you go through hard stuff and like you need to be able to vent and then it's over. It doesn't mean that it's you're going to carry it on or it's something that sometimes you just need that person that's safe that you can say something to and then it's done and you're good. And I do really, I like to have somebody that is that for me. And I like to be that because I totally understand the need for that. I think so. Yeah. I just always, there's somebody come to me and vent about anything. And I'm like, even if it's me, like, you don't have to hold on to that. Like, I know I probably can be frustrating too. So cool. Tell me.
Yeah, it's
being transparent and open and honest with each other. And we're all going to be better for it.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
Don't keep it in. I don't know if you've ever listened to Brené Brown, but she says something that sticks with me and she says, name it to tame it. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really coming through to me. Name it to tame it. Not only naming it, but don't try to hold it in when it needs to be processed in some way. And it sounds about that first, people.
In front of people, like, it's okay to let them see that you are feeling a certain way or struggle or whatever that is. And I think that's a great leadership lesson too, right? It's okay to be vulnerable and to ask questions and do all the things. So yeah, that's a big piece for me. In the midst of kind of all of the panic attack, I was entering into potentially moving into a new job and some other things are happening from that.
As we just weave our way through this story, there's this overwhelm and you still push through. You were like, oh, and then suddenly you said earlier, you tamper things down. You were probably tampering down a little bit of that by gutting it out.
Sure.
And eventually it came out. In this case, it came out in panic attack. And now there's even more for you to share with us that you were unpacking at that time. You show up in your dad's beautiful cafe, artwork, all that stuff. It's the same kind of place where you feel like you might want to be happy, but you were really struggling. So
yeah, and there's, it just became a family environment there. There were so many patrons that became friends to my dad, to us. We would go every Friday night and have dinner and see the same people. It's just a great little hometown, hole-in-the-wall place to eat. And so I had decided to make the transition from my previous job to something new and had been applying and trying to figure out what my next move was. I knew I really wanted to step up from a leadership level. And I had gotten an offer for the job I'm currently in, actually. And this was well over a decade ago, which is crazy to think about. Time really does fly. But I thought, after talking to the SVP who I still work for, and I thought, this is a big job. And I'd also been offered a job that was an in-between, like maybe baby step to that. And I remember, and I had about 24 hours to make the decision because I had gotten both of these offers. And I thought, okay, just going to take like the interim one because I'm just not sure I can, like, I'm just not feeling, I don't know, where, like I can take on maybe, or I'm doubting myself about what I can take on.
Yeah, it sounds like you had been through a lot and still powered through and found the sunshine where you could. Got your master's, plugged away, and before you knew it, you had a great opportunity in front of you. And what I'm hearing is that you had nothing left in your fuel tank to consider taking on something that might have been, in your own mind, a stretch.
Yes, definitely a stretch, and which is what I wanted. But also, I second-guessed myself, and I remember walking into my dad's cafe, and a couple, Chuck and Elizabeth, who had become family friends with my dad, and we would see them there all the time. And Chuck, very unassuming. I didn't really know anything about his background at the time. He's got this long beard, like looking guy. Super, the most incredible couple, very supportive and lovely to my dad and stepmom. And I remember going in there and I was just trying to talk to my dad about it. I'm like, I have to make a decision today. Like, I don't know what to do. And I remember Chuck going, you take the other job.
And I was like, so you're taking advice from the biker guy. He's a nice guy, but he's like rough around the edges a little.
Thank you. And he's, no, you absolutely can do that. Take the other job. And I'm like, but Chuck, you don't know anything about it. He said, it doesn't matter. Like, you take the harder job. And I'm like, but what if I can't do it? He's like, why couldn't you do it? I'm like, oh, I don't know. It just seems like maybe it's a stretch. He's okay. So you'll learn. I'm like, all right. You're really, it was like such a kick in the pants. And every time, everything I would say, he would be like, again, I don't understand. Like, this is.
Yeah, he was like looking at you like you had two heads. And he's saying, obviously, you can do it. What is happening here?
And he's like, do this stuff all the time. Like, why would you even doubt yourself as a woman in a club? So I went home and I remember thinking about it and talking to Chris about it. And finally, Chris was like, yeah, absolutely. You take this job. Like, I don't understand why we're talking about this. And I'm like, why? Thank you, everyone, for believing in me. But I'm the one that actually has to execute. And I just remember thinking that night, you know what? I can do it. I've been through hard things. I can do hard things. I can do this. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to bite the bullet and do it. And I just called the next morning and said, absolutely, I accept all this stuff. And it did take time, right? As I started into that new position, and it was a pivot from what I had been doing, but still the same. I was going from marketing and some others to a more communications role. And there was a lot to learn. It was a new industry for me. It was, again, a lot of newness, but I really was like going, oh no, what am I doing? And then just learning to who the players were, what the questions were to ask. It's okay to ask for help. That's like such a huge thing. I think that people don't, especially in new positions or even younger people coming into a leadership position. It's okay not to know what you do. Like, and that's the time, right? To ask the questions and to absorb as much as you can and that's how you figure it out. And also, you don't have to do things the way the last person did it. I think so many people go into this job and think, okay, these were the shoes I had to fill because you've heard about what we've done. So learn how to, you're really going to progress this position forward or the company forward, whatever that may be that you're sitting in.
Yeah, this is really good. A couple of things that stand out to me. One is through all of the messiness, you learned you were pushing through, but you also learned because you're like, I figured out through this whole panic attack episode and a lot of other things, you can't hold it in. And so then you develop this habit. You're going to talk to your dad. I don't know about this. So you were getting it out. And that gave Chuck the opportunity to jump in, which is so rich. If you hadn't been ready to be like, not just gutting it out, but gutting it out loud. And here comes biker Chuck.
And I don't think Chuck even knows he's done. I'm going to have to share this with him because I don't think he even realizes that he was the pivotal person. And such a minute, like it was probably a 10-minute conversation. He's probably never thought about it again. But what a pivotal piece, just hearing an external person that didn't really know me just question why, you know, your family, absolutely, you could do that. And that's what family does. And that's great. Your friends the same, but having this external force, we'll come to find out, Chuck was the chief legal officer of a humongous company for 30.
Oh my gosh. In disguise at the cafe.
He was retired and living his best retirement life. And I was like, oh, Chuck, he really knows what he's talking about, especially from this corporate perspective. And just didn't know that. Like, he was just the person that kind of gave me the nudge over the edge to get me to fly. So I'm happy to share this with him because I don't think he even knows. And that was, 11 years ago or something?
I love that advice and or hope or confidence came from a very unexpected place. Yep. And now we know that place was well-founded.
Yep.
And then you went back home and you got another go do it. And you did it. So through that, you learned a lot of really important lessons. You started talking about some of them. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to let it out if it's inside you. So tell me more about how this has supported the additional lessons they've gotten.
Yeah, I was also probably one of the younger leaders coming in as well. And so I feel like there's probably everyone comes in and I really felt like I was in this corporate setting and I had to be this certain way. And after about 6 months, I was like, you know what? I just need to be my authentic self. And that's how I'm going to survive and thrive, and took a different pivot of just being me. Like, I'm a very friendly, open, integrity is really big for me. And just like sharing that with my team. I want my team to know me on a personal level. I know them on a personal level. And just really cracking that, like, how do we support each other in that way? I know their love languages of just how do they like to receive feedback? And it's so important. I've had two of my team members have been with me for almost 11 years, like since I came on. So we just have like a long-term friendship, relationship, workship, whatever that may be. And I really care about them as people. I think the more you know, too, personally about people, the more you can help support them in those times of need. If people didn't know me well when I was going through it, I was keeping things in, maybe they wouldn't be as flexible and supportive and helpful, but they knew I was going through something. And I've had people on my team go through some horrible medical things that we've lost one of our team members who was a dear friend of mine to breast cancer during some of this time too. And we absolutely all banded together to do what we could to help, you know, everybody, because that's important. But had they not shared that, had we not known them on that personal level and had that like authentic connection with each other, maybe we wouldn't feel as apt to do that. And some of these people I have met in our team are, I would consider, lifelong friends.
Incredible. Let me double click on something here. So earlier you were talking about how the stress that it caused when you were not being authentic, essentially. You were holding things in. The outside has to look a certain way. You, after 6 months or so in this new job, you gave yourself permission to, you're like, just, I'm just going to be me. What changed? What did people see different at when you made that decision switch?
I think I haven't worked in a big global corporate company before. And you see a lot of people that are just very buttoned up, right? Like it was suit jackets for a long time. We're not like that anymore, but
they're the filtered ones. We're Transformation Unfiltered. There might be another show called Transformation Filtered out there, but what you're picking up on is our filters. Yes. Keep talking.
And I was like, okay, we're like, I remember I could wear our executive floor. You had to be in a black suit jacket to even go up there for a long time. And we've progressed. We're not a company like that anymore, but it was just everything was very buttoned up. And again, I'm a kind of bubbly, fun person. I don't like to be buttoned up all that much. And I was trying to come across this as very professional and have everything together person. And I just realized I don't, like, I got to ask my team things. Like, they still teach me so much. I'm like, hey, I have somebody on my team that's an incredible proofer. He knows AP stops. I have one that knows linguistics, and that's what he studied. They know so much more than me about certain things, and I know I can help them strategize and things like that. So we all support each other in that way. So it's okay for them to let my guard down, and hey, I can learn from you, and you can learn from me, and we're a team, and we can support each other in that way. And I think before I was just coming in trying to be like, okay, we got to get this out today. And this is our laundry list of things to do. And it was just so robotic and, again, buttoned up. And
maybe tiring. I would be checkered out at the end of the day.
It's not how I thought. Oh, I can't. Yeah, I do that. These are not my people. Like, I don't even feel like I know them. And and it's like, let it all out. Nope. Okay, we're going to let that mask come off. And I also feel like I want to learn everything that my team does so I can do it too, because I want to be there to support them. So I wouldn't ask my team to do something that I haven't at least tried to figure out how to do as well. Not to say I'm doing it on a daily basis, but hey, let's learn this together so we can figure it out. I think that's really important too. So I'm a leader that's down in the weeds. Like, I'm a person that is contributing. Like, I have an individual contributor role as well as a leadership role. I'm not just like a manager of people. I know maybe some companies there are that way, but we're not that way. Like, we all contribute. And what am I bringing to the table? What are they bringing to the table? How can we mix this up to make something really incredible?
Beautiful. I think that what you brought to this place is a lot of moments where you overcame, were able to gut it out. And, you know, through that, it took a lot of your energy.
Yeah.
Then everybody else saw what you're capable of, but you couldn't see it anymore. Then you had this great opportunity and you needed a little kick in the pants. And luckily there were growth along the way, because you got to be like, I'm going to talk about this with somebody I trust. And it opened the door for others to rally around you. Yeah. So you were your authentic self in that moment, and good things happened. Then you went to this job and you were buttoned up. It was Kelly filtered. But then when you decided, hey, I'm going to show my whole human self so I can just bring that and be at ease in my skin and deliver what I can, because of who I am and what I know, it opened the door for your whole team to be brave enough to do that too.
It's
amazing.
Real important. And you come energized, not every day, right? Some days are draining because that's just life, but you come out of it energized knowing you've done something good and you lived up to what makes you feel good inside, as opposed to just, oh, I'm home.
I can do my session.
No, you've been doing that all day. So it's okay.
How wonderful that you can be yourself, and you've learned so much by being your authentic self, being a whole human leader. And when I say whole human leader, you're saying, hey, you are a great employee and there's so much more to you. Tell me what's important to you. Tell me what you know.
And
let yourself be you.
And looking at, I've had executive and leadership coaching, right? Obviously, that's such an important thing. And just having somebody reflect on areas where you can do better at certain things. So I've gone through that process as I would suggest all leaders or people that want to be leaders do, because it's so interesting to take that 360 look, right, at yourself and figure out how that fits for you, as opposed to, again, trying to be like somebody else. Oh, that person's a good leader. I want to be like them. That's okay. But like, you have to do it in your own way. And again, what feels authentic to you. And I think that there's some integrity behind that as well, because if you're trying to emulate what somebody else is doing, there you just lose a little bit of yourself, I think. And I just, again, I'm not saying I'm the greatest leader. I'm not saying I still don't have things to learn. I see have to learn to manage up. And there's all these things that I'm always still working on. But I do feel like I'm a lifelong learner, and I really do try. And I try to take feedback. It's not fun, but I do receive and ask for feedback. And my team knows that they can give it to me. And they're like, all right, come on, Kelly. I'm like, okay, thank you. That's all I need. Just give me that feedback. And it's not always fun and not always easy, but you have to take it. You have to learn. And I've worked with so many people that cannot take feedback.
Yeah. One thing, I'm going to back this up. I love the way you're just saying, I'm going to be unfiltered on the way out. But what you just did is what's coming to me is, by being yourself, you're creating an openness. And that openness lets things flow both ways. It lets you share what you're capable of, what makes you. And it also creates maybe a little bit of scary vulnerability, because that means if information flows one way, you've truly opened up and said, hey, it's going to flow both ways. You said it's a little scary, but how has that impacted you as a leader by creating that flow and openness instead of that filtered wall?
Yeah, I think it's important, because I get very real-time feedback from my team of, this doesn't make sense. Like, what you're asking me to do, like, I'm just coming to tell you. Like, when I'm like, okay, tell me why you think, let's have a conversation about it, instead of let's just, sometimes the answer is we have to do it because that's what's being asked of us. Let me hear your perspective, and like, how can we try to kind of meet in the middle? Some things are just, we absolutely have to do this because our leadership team is asking us to do this. Let's take this feedback or think about this as we're moving through with a different campaign. And then sometimes it's, oh, you're right. Hey, maybe we offer this suggestion before we start executing. So I think it just opens up a good dialogue, all kinds of things, right? Sometimes I have to ask people to do, we're going to write this, and this just doesn't make any sense. Or like, why are you asking me to do this? And they feel comfortable just to pop that back at me, I think. So we can, instead of just doing something and it not being a great product that they're coming out with because they just don't understand, or they don't feel like they can push back or ask questions. My SVP is wonderful too, of having an open opinion her constantly, which it probably drives her crazy, but she's very great at kind of talking through things and being an advocate of, hey, I need some help here. Can you enter this picture and help me escalate or whatever that needs to happen? And so she's really emulated that a lot as well. And so I tried to do the same thing. And I let myself be the bad guy too sometimes for my team when they don't feel comfortable delivering a message, and I can do that. But again, I think that all centers around, like, we've got this way to communicate that I know, oh, this may make somebody uncomfortable. Let me take this one. Or I understand why we're not getting what we're trying to get out of this deliverable, and it's because this person doesn't feel connected, or they don't feel like they understand the material, or whatever that may be. Because we are communicators, we write a lot of things, and sometimes they're like, hey, write this, and you don't know anything about what
you got to get curious. Yeah,
for experts.
What I appreciate about your journey is you've been learning every step of the way, and once you start to practice something, like, maybe I shouldn't hold this thing inside,
yeah,
it leads to the next lesson. Like, mm-hmm. In that case, it led to, oh, I'm actually good enough. I can do something. Yep. And then the next lesson is, gosh, it's really tiring when I'm trying to be somebody I'm not. And then you open even more. So it's like the opening of Kelly. And that created an open team. And now it's not like you're just all existing by yourselves and doing your job. What you are is you're interdependent.
Yep.
And your team has your back and you have their back, and your SVP will be like, I need help. And then sometimes you'll be like, I need help. And isn't it so nice to go through life not by yourself?
Oh, it's wonderful. I'm not a lone wolf by any means. I have to have a group of people surrounding me at all times. I'm like an extroverted extrovert for sure.
Yeah, I think you've created a great place for yourself to thrive and to support others in doing that. If you could sum it up in a key takeaway for somebody that's 15 years our junior starting out, what advice would you have for them?
Oh gosh, learn and ask questions. I think that seems so basic, but so many people don't do it. If you're in an internship program, if you're at your first job, set up calls with everybody. I have people set up calls with me that enter the company and they're like, hey, I just want to learn about what you do. It can like, I pick your brain for a little bit about how you got there. And I'm not saying I'm at the top of the food chain in our organization. It's wonderful to be able to share and help. I'm a really big, again, creating a network. I think that's so important because you never know 6 degrees of separation, right? You never know where that's going to lead you or and who you connected with and why that's important. And I would also say yes to just every opportunity. I'm such a yes person. In fact, sometimes it gets me in trouble because I overextend myself. But I love, like, I say yes to a lot of philanthropic stuff because that's important to me. I say yes to even if something maybe, again, it's new at work. I'm like, here, send it to us. We'd love to figure it out. We're working through AI, right? That's a huge hot topic right now. I think just across many industries. And it's, oh, all right, let's like, how can we figure out how to do this? I'll raise my hand and try to test something or whatever. So just constantly asking questions, raising your hand, saying yes to new opportunity. Speaking to you today, like what a great opportunity to network. And like, where does this come from? Who, these listeners, right? Like, how would I potentially connect with them? And what does that mean for our futures collectively? And just,
yeah,
I love to network. I love to meet people. I love to talk. I love to share. And I think saying yes to, I speak locally. And that's brought me such joy, but also brought me such great connections with people because people reach out and they're like, oh, something you said really resonated. Or they'll rarely say no to opportunities.
So let me say something. You just won an award that we often give in our kind of facilitated session with leaders and stuff. You won the Segway Award, which means we're going to ask how people can network with you. You're like, you're the poster child for networking makes a huge difference, people. And how can people find you?
Well, I'm definitely on LinkedIn, as I think hopefully we all are. So I'm just Kelly Keeker on there. So come out and look for me. I have a huge network. I don't post as much as I was just because busy with life, but I love to chat with people. People reach out and say, can we have a phone conversation about XYZ? Yeah, absolutely. If I have time, I'll do my best to make it happen because I love to talk and share. And like I said, you never know. I have to tell you just one funny story about a 6 degrees of separation before we end, because this is one that failed, but I think it's worth mentioning. When I was 4, my uncle was dating a somewhat famous actress at the time, and I was convinced that I was going to be an actress, as most gregarious four-year-olds are. And I remember he was bringing her to dinner at our house, and we lived in a small town in Georgia. And my mom had put me in this beautiful, like, very buttoned-up dress and be on your best behavior. And I was like, I understood networking at that point. I said, I can't just be in this dress. And, like, I have to come out.
This is my moment, Mom.
Dancing and singing. This is an audition that, like, I didn't even know. Right? Here it is on my doorstep. And so I found some sort of, like, black nightgown of my mother's. And I had a hat and heels of hers, again, for. And the door opens and I bust out singing and dancing, ready to meet her. And my uncle was so mortified. He like said hello. We met her and then he turned around and left and we didn't even get to that. But I tell you what, I knew about networking then. I thought this is my way into Hollywood. It didn't work out, but that's okay because not all networking leads you. That wasn't my path.
But what was nice is you were fully you in that moment. You weren't hiding anything. You were able to be yourself. And I think that at the end of the day, you probably slept still pretty good at night because you're like, I took my chance. So you had the confidence to take your chance. Yeah.
Shoot your shot and see what happened.
Exactly. I really appreciate that we got to spend this time together. I could talk with you for hours and hours. I'm going to touch base on a couple of things that I think are so powerful that you brought to us today. We went on a roller coaster ride, essentially, and you did too in your life. Life is happening and we're trying to be a 20-something and have our careers and grow, and we're gutting it out. We're getting our master's. We're seeing that job. We're then also switching gears to be fully present with family members who need us most. Yeah. And dealing with grief and all of that is life, and it can be exhausting and hard, and you don't have to do it alone. And when you found out that you didn't do it alone, little glimmers came out. When you started opening, other things opened. And that might have been the network at the restaurant. And it might have been the network in action because you were then showing yourself a little bit and asking for help and saying, what do I do? And even when you can't see it, somebody else might see, hey, I know this person's got it. And Chuck did that for you. And from there, you've started doing that with the people all around you. And that energy is an open flow of energy that brings more people towards you and allows just good stuff to flow. I'm just delighted by our time together. If you've enjoyed this conversation with Kelly Kuecker and all that we've learned and this beautiful story she shared with us today about living and transforming because you're unfiltered in all the best ways, then please tune into Transformation Unfiltered on your favorite podcast platform. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you, who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.